You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
It's 11:34 on Zoomer Radio. Gordon Pape is certainly one of Canada's best-known financial authors. He's written a lot of books. He's a columnist on 50plus.com. He's the editor and publisher of the Internet Wealth Builder, the Income Investor, and Mutual Funds Update. Gordon, very nice to have you on Zoomer Radio.
It's nice to be with you, Dale.
Now listen, $500,000, make more than that, and you're subjected to a 2% surtax. What was your immediate reaction to that?
My immediate reaction is that not many people are going to be affected. In fact, I would doubt if one listener to this program is affected, and if anyone is, I hope they call in because I'd like to hear it. I think it's a fairly easy political decision for Premier McGuinty, especially once he was able to persuade Ms. Horath from not insisting the money go to eliminating the HST on hydro bills or health care or anything else. By directing it to bringing down the deficit, all of this really just plays right into the hands of the Liberals, and it also gives McGuinty the opportunity of saying that this NDP tax, which I thought was a very clever way of putting it,
yes, exactly,
is going to be repealed once the books are balanced.
In 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, supposedly. I was surprised, actually, that the NDP didn't try to get more leverage out of their situation. I think that this is really pretty insignificant in terms of what their goals would be thought to be. After all, we've got a budget here that's proposing to freeze the salaries of public servants and teachers and doctors,
yeah,
cut back on pensions. All of this stuff is dear to the heart of the NDP, and yet they obviously didn't feel they had the leverage to challenge the government in any of this.
But that 2% surtax on the so-called rich, I mean, that's one of those shiny baubles that politicians just can't resist, you know?
Well, that's right. And, you know, it is in line with what Barack Obama is insisting is needed in the U.S. He wants to, of course, get the tax rate up on higher-income people in that country. And supported by the likes of Warren Buffett, everyone has by now heard the story that Warren Buffett's tax rate is lower than that of his secretary.
Yes,
of course,
yes.
That's the rationale behind all this. And the Republicans are saying that not on our watch. I think what's interesting here, Dale, is whether, in fact, the tax is actually going to really generate anything like the kind of revenue that is being projected. Mr. McGuinty is talking in terms of $470 million or so.
That was my very next question. Is it going to produce that kind of money?
Well, you know, Britain imposed this surtax on the rich as part of the whole austerity program to try to deal with their financial mess over there, which is really even worse than ours. And according to the numbers that I have seen, it was supposed to bring in an extra £1 billion a year to the Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the initial results seem to suggest that tax revenue from this particular group fell by £500 million in the first year. So now they're talking about repealing it, because what's happening is that the rich are just employing more accountants and lawyers to find the tax loopholes to get around paying this higher tax rate.
Well, they're the ones that can afford to do exactly that.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Now, I heard yesterday a lot of rich guys in expensive suits moaning and groaning about this, how it will kill investment, how it will do this, how it will do that. Will it have, all by itself, do you think, much of an effect on the economy?
I do not. I don't think it's going to have much effect at all. I think it's important to remember this is a tax on income, not a tax on assets. It's not a tax on your capital. If you're sitting on a property, and a lot of people in Toronto are, that's worth over $500,000, that isn't going to affect you at all. It's only if your income is above that level, and there are very few taxpayers who are in that group. Plus the fact that McGuinty has promised to repeal this down the road. Of course, we don't know if the Liberals will be in power down the road, but that's another matter. But you know, Dale, there's something more fundamental here that I'd just like to explore for a minute with you.
Yeah.
And that's the idea that there's something more fundamental at stake here. We're talking about a tax, a surtax, on people making more than $500,000 a year. I think that the real problem is that our whole tax bracket is out of whack. If you look at the tax rates that are being applied to lower-income people, I think they are way too high.
Mm-hmm.
And the tax rates that are being applied to people with higher incomes, 200,000 plus might be a good figure to choose,
yeah,
are probably too low. You know, I don't know if you've looked at the Ontario tax brackets lately, but an Ontario taxpayer with taxable income of more than $43,000, and that's barely subsistence level for a lot of people.
And that's a lot of, not a lot of money these
days. That's right. And that person is paying at a marginal rate of almost one-third of income,
mm-hmm,
31.15%. Now, that's an awful lot of tax at that particular level. And by 85,000, which is middle class, you're up,
mm-hmm,
to about 40%. So I think that we ought to be really talking about stretching out the tax brackets so that people at the lower end are paying less and that those with higher incomes are paying a little more. And maybe that way you can generate more income realistically out of the whole situation.
But out of the whole system, yeah. But politicians, Gordon, never seem to want to go there. These surtaxes have been popular in the past, too. You know that. It's kind of a blunt instrument, but it's popular with the mere mortals, and so the politicians do it.
Well, they do, and, you know, it's an easy way out. Now, in this particular case, Mr. McGuinty may not have had much choice. Nobody really wants a spring election.
No kidding.
We just had one, and there's no guarantee that having another one is going to produce any different results. In fact, if it produced any change in the current situation, it would more likely lean toward the Liberals coming back into office again. That would be my guess, given the circumstances and the fact that the Conservatives are not in a very good situation from a financial or organizational point of view right now. But the point is that he found himself in a position where basically the NDP made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Exactly. That's true. Do you think that the $500,000 figure is the right figure? Does that separate, comfortable from wealthy? Do you become rich at $500,000?
You become super rich if your income is $500,000 a year. I've never been near that in my life.
Well, what is rich? I mean, how do you know you're rich?
Well, that's a good point. If you remember back when the clawback on the old age security was introduced by the Mulroney government, the idea was that they were going to claw back money from, and they used this word, the rich.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was anyone who had income at the time of something over around $54,000. So those were the rich. The
right.
Rich is whatever people say it is at any given point in time. And the plain fact is that anyone with income of over $500,000 a year is not just rich, they're super rich. I think that basically in an urban center like Toronto right now, where the cost of living is obviously higher than it is in some smaller cities or rural areas, probably rich might be considered anyone with income of upwards of, say, $150,000, $200,000.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Now, the government says there are 23,000 people out there in Ontario who make more than $500,000. Probably a lot of them make a whole lot more than $500,000, wouldn't you think?
Well, certainly if you look at who these people are, they're the super elite. They're they're the bank CEOs and the CEOs of major corporations. These are people who are probably have income in the millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But here again, there are all kinds of ways that people can use to lower the taxes that they pay. These people can defer income into future years. A lot of this money comes from things like stock options and that sort of thing. They can essentially say, well, we're going to put some of that that income off until a time down the road when the tax rates are going to come down again. They'll find ways around this. And as I said earlier, I'd be very surprised if we actually end up generating $470 million a year.
So what we wind up with is an empty gesture, a Liberal government that can stay in power, and no huge extra bit of money to put against the deficit.
That is my guess at this point, yes.
Yeah.
I think you're right. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe we'll be surprised, and we will, in fact, generate some extra money out of this that can go to reducing the deficit, and heaven knows we need it.
Well, if that happens, it means a lot of rich people need new tax accountants.
Well, that's true, too.
Thanks, Gordon, very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Dale. Always good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.